Man, that's pretty, isn't it? Wow. First time I came a member of the Church of Christ, in Fifth Ward, there's 1,200 people in the audience, and they sung that song. Brother Teamer. Amazing what it is when all the voices kick in. Think about what it's going to be like in heaven, y'all. Oh, my goodness. If I could just sing like Brother Teamer, I could put that bass on y'all this morning. Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to see everyone in the audience, especially not a member of the Church of Christ. You're the honored guest of the audience. I want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. I hope you get baptized today. Amen. Today, don't wait till tomorrow because it's not promised. Today, you need to be born of the water and of the Spirit, a member of the church you can read about in the Bible. Don't gamble. Don't take a chance. Don't take a chance being outside of the church and the Bible. It's important for your soul. You get one shot at that thing. You don't get to come back and get it right. And Jesus died for the church. And then those of us who are members of the Lord's church should be faithful. Faithful to the Lord. Faithful in our worship and in our service to him. John chapter number 12 is where we are on this morning. John chapter 12. The book of John has been a wonderful study. Very encouraging and educational. I've learned a lot from it. I'm excited about learning. And hope you are too. You should come to worship to give God your all. Amen. Turn off your cell phones and get out of them text messages, emails. Stop chewing gum and get that candy out your mouth. Yeah. Worship is to God. And we are in the presence of God. That's why we behave appropriately. Just like in the presence of Judge Judy. You don't sag your pants, you pull them up. Take your glasses off and take your hats off because you're respecting the presence of the judge. And in worship, we're in the presence of God. That's why we don't flop around on the floors and bring Dougie Fresh beatboxing in that worship. It didn't originate with God. Never was in his worship. It's not going to be in ours. That's why we commune and respect quietly. Remember our Lord's death in communion. Worship is a time to focus and to give God his reverence and respect. And that's what we're here to do this morning. Amen? John chapter 12. Let's pick up in verse number 20. Thanks to those who are looking, helping me look for my sermon titles. It takes a lot of reading and consideration what we're going to come up with. This time we came up with the hour has come. In verse number 20, there were certain Greeks.
And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast.
At the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip,
which was a Bethesda
of Galilee,
and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus.
Now, among these people are the Greeks. There's a certain Greeks are part of the Gentile division. They're not of the Jews. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. These Greeks, like us, want to see this man Jesus. Whom they heard about with all the miracles, and not only the miracles, but the fact that he just raised Lazarus from the dead. He's very popular now because of the fact that he raised up a dead man. But the Greeks don't really know that Jesus is going to be their savior. He's coming to be their savior. So Philip come and tell Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. They go
and
tell Jesus, these Greeks are looking for you.
And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come.
This is where the title came from. The hour is come.
That the Son of Man should be glorified.
The hour is come that the Son of Man shall be what? Glorified. What hour is he speaking of? What hour has come? Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. This is prophesied in Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 13. they referred to him as the Son of Man in the Old Testament one time. And then in the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself as a Son of Man over 80 sometime. He calls himself the Son of Man. He refers to himself the Son of Man. It is in my opinion, in my studies, my opinion is that he is referring to himself as the Son of Man because of his humanity. It indicates he's human and God at the same time. He's human in the fact that he came from a Virgin Mary, and he's God because he was the Son of God. But never before did God have a son before he was born through Mary's Virgin Mary. Amen. Never in the Old Testament, you never read of him as the Son of God. He became the only Son of God when he came through the Virgin Mary. At that point, he refers to himself as the Son of Man. But he was not the Son of God in the Old Testament. He had no son. He was God. Yeah, I don't miss the point. He had no son in the Old Testament. His son was born through Mary. That's when he referred to himself as a Son of Man. And now, he said, now, the Son of Man, the hour has come for him. It's not a future tense. He said the hour, what? Is come. So it's present tense, it's now, it's upon the Son of Man. Notice what he says in verse number 24. What is this hour he's talking about? He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you,
except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die.
Think about what he's saying. It abideth alone.
But if the seed die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Now, this is an analogy. If you take a corn seed, a pea seed, amen, a seed, that seed alone has to be buried. That seed, that corn seed cannot produce unless it dies. So you have to put the corn seed in the ground, bury it, it dies, and then it rises again. Oh, y'all miss it. You put the seed in the ground. I remember thinking about Uncle Adel when I was growing up, Brother Stroud. We plant them seeds, man. You know, in the country, you plant gardens. See, now I got me a little red things in the backyard. I think I'm doing something. But that's not a real garden. That's just playing around with that one, you know. Yeah. Yeah, but we planted them English peas that day. I like that. I tell y'all this story. We planted them English. So what happened? What did he do? Uncle Adel, he used old Kate, you know, Billy, and he plowed down the field. He get over to the left. And they keep that horse going straight down the row, bust that row. They would call it busting it. How many people know about busting a row? Some of the old folk, you got to get old to get this down. Yeah, these young folk don't know. They think I'm talking about busting corn, busting a sod or something. I'm talking about busting ground. And then when they bust the ground open, it lays the dirt open. And then you walk down through there and you drop a seed every so far. And then that seed, he'll go back and he take that horse and he go down the side and throw that dirt back on top of the seed. They call that a miller buster. You go down the miller and throw dirt both ways, and it covers up the seeds. And then the farmer just sits there and wait for a few days. Because the seed got to die before a sprout would resurrect. And now when the sprout resurrects, it grows up and starts producing more than it wants. And so the seed was growing up, and we were he was telling me about hoeing the grass out of the English peas so that it'll grow up and produce. The greatest thing for the farmer is to see production from the seed. Now, but I was that day, I had a song on my mind when I was hoeing with him. I'm like, hey, now, he loved me. He loved me. He was teaching me how to be a man. He wore them old coveralls and everything. And he sweated a lot and he stank during the day. I remember that about him because he was outdoors, man. He worked hard, you know. He wore them old coveralls. But he was hoeing that ground, boy. And I was hoeing. He gave me a little hoe. He had a big hoe. I had a little hoe. And I was hoeing that ground. I was feeling a good mood that day. I said, I heard through the grapevine. Just about to lose my mind, honey, honey, yeah. Through the grapevine, how much longer would you be my baby? Okay, that's a Tommy. And they call me Tommy in the country. It's not Tommy, you know, like city folk Tommy. Hey, Tommy. In the country, it was Tommy. And he stopped what he was doing, boy, and he was serious. He said, Tommy? I said, sir. See, back then, you didn't say sir. You kind of, we say sir. Sir? Because I knew when he stopped me, he was serious about what he was getting ready to say, and you respected him back then. You didn't respect because mama loud, uncle could slap you just as hard as mama did, and they wouldn't be. And then, in fact, when you get home, she's going to slap the other side because he had to slap you. So you know to say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. We were never allowed to say y'all and all and nothing, what, the mamas and daddies and uncles and aunties. Like some of these kids, little baby kids do to y'all. See, some kids talking about what to his mama. Boy, she wouldn't have got the out. But anyway, he said, Tommy, I said, sir, he said, and whatsoever you do, don't you lose your mind. He says, son, God knows you need your mind. Now, he didn't know the song. He thought I was really singing the song. I'm about to lose my mind. He wanted to just stop me and tell me I need my mind. So y'all need your mind. Amen. And right now, I need your mind back on the seat. This is a powerful analogy. The sight of the plant breaking the ground to the former was glorious. Remember he said, the Son of Man, the hour has come, that the Son of Man be what? Glorified. I'm coming back to them, okay? The life is in the seed, but there's no life if the seed don't die. But the seed must die alone. Now, in verse 25, he says,
he that loveth his life shall lose it.
Now, he's talking to these Greeks. We want to see Jesus. He said, here's what the corn seed. He gave him an analogy. And then he come back and said, one that loses life, and he that hated his life in this world.
He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it until.
In other words, you got to love your life less than you do. In this world, you got to love God more than your own life. That's what he's saying. If any man serve me,
if any man serve
he has
me,
to follow me
follow
or obey me.
Me.
Where, I,
where
am,
I am,
there shall also my servant be.
If any man serve me,
he
will my Father honor.
See, understand this, those of you who have never been baptized. There is no honor from God the Father because you haven't obeyed his son. You will not be saved. You will face a father who gave his only child for you, and because you didn't obey it, you will face that judge, and it won't be nice. It won't be nice. And if you die like that, it's appointed unto you to die, but after that, there will be a judgment, and you will face God the Father. Because Jesus will put down rule and authority, and the Father will take over at that point. You don't want to die. None of us want to die not obeying the gospel. You need to be baptized immediately because tomorrow is not promised. Y'all hear last night, and it's been on my mind. I might as well see it now. But this young man just took this girl and ran over her. Y'all see that on the news? Just ran over her, turned around, came back, ran over her again, went down there and turned around, came back and ran over that same body. Now, how can you hate somebody so bad? But anyway, my point of that is that you don't know when you're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. Anytime it could happen to any of us. We don't know who and when and what, when who's next. But my point is, you all, is that this thing, death is real. But anyone who have not served God and have not obeyed the Son, you will have to deal with that Father. And that's, it's a terrible thing to stand before the Father. Yeah. They want to see Jesus, but they got to understand it's only by following, the Greeks want to see him, but it's only by following and obeying him will they ever be honored by God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father, what, but by me. You got to go through Jesus. It's just like for them. If you're not communing weekly, you're going to have to answer to God. Now, I want y'all to think about this. If your son, if you gave your son for people to die this cruel death, and all you did was ask them to remember him through drinking of a cup and the bread, and people didn't do it, would you be okay with that if it was your child? Dude, how many of us think God the Father going to be okay with us now at least remembering his child? Amen. That's why we come together weekly. We come together. He said, this do in remembrance of me. Do you all know communion is a command? Amen. Not only is communion a command, but giving is a command. Singing is a command. Worship is a command. Amen. Let's go back to John 12. Verse 27.
Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour.
Now he's mentioning that hour again. But notice this. He is troubled. He is disturbed. There's something about this hour that's disturbing him. What am I going to do? Am I going to... Should I ask my father to save me? He knows his father can save him from whatever this hour is. But then he says, I know why I got to go through this hour. I know why I've come to this point. I know why, but it's troubling me. It's something about this hour that's bothering him. He said, Father.
But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father.
Then he says, he speaks to the Father. He said, glorify
thy name.
Your name. Then
came there a voice from heaven saying,
I
have both glorified it.
I have done it in the past.
And will glorify it again.
I'm going to do it again. His Father glorified him. And this Father spoke at his baptism. This voice was of the Father. This voice spoke in his baptism and said, this is my beloved Son of whom well pleased. That voice came out of the Mount of Transfiguration when Peter had the idea to have a church of Elijah, a church of Moses, and a church of Christ. Before he wanted to build three different churches with three different men, and before he got through saying more than one church, that voice came through again and said, this is. In other words, you don't build no other church in no name other than my Christ. My son, Church of Christ. We have nothing to apologize for. The Father spoke on this matter, and must we speak on it? Absolutely. There is no Church of Moses. If it's going to be a great man, Moses was a great man. Elijah was a great man. But because the Father spoke, he did not want nothing built in the name of Moses, nothing built in the name of Elijah. He said, the Church of Christ. And I will be one of the preachers who will die preaching the one. I'll go down in history as a one church preacher. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all who's above all and in you all. And I don't apologize to people about this. This is not something you apologize for. This voice spoke. This voice spoke, and that voice has authority. And until we respect the authority of God, we will have to answer him as our judge. God has glorified his name. He glorified his name when he sent his only son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he glorified him as the one who gave. There's so love is unlike no other. And so here he is. At this moment of Jesus' life, something is so horrifying, that he said, I'm troubled by it. And he called out to his Father, as he will in the Garden of Gethsemane, to let this cup pass. As he will on Calvary, there's something horrifying, troubling about the hour. What is this hour? The people
that stood by, heard it, said that it thundered.
Sounded like thunder to them.
Others said,
an angel spoke to him. And Jesus
answered and said, this voice came not because of me.
This voice is not because of me.
But for your sakes.
Y'all need to understand who's in authority here. And until America and the world understand, and the Church of Christ members understand, the Father has full authority. And what he spoke is for us. It wasn't for Jesus. It was to let us know what's getting ready to happen has to do with a Father. The forgotten voice by those who preach grace only, they forgot the Father. The forgotten voice is the Father's voice. Everybody wants Jesus. But guess who they forgot? The Father. Get 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Listen to the Bible.
Then cometh the end.
When the end comes.
When he shall have delivered up the kingdom.
Jesus
going to
deliver
God,
up the kingdom of the church back
to God.
To God.
Even the Father.
The Father.
When he shall have put down
and
all rule.
And he's going to put down all rule.
And all authority.
Who, he going to put down what?
All authority.
So once he takes the church home, Jesus comes out of authority. Guess who takes over? Guess who takes over? Remember how he says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They talk about God the Father. Jesus is our advocate. Now, he's in between us. He's in between us and the Father. But once he takes the church back home, all of those who have not obeyed would deal with the Father. That's a scary thought. Because I know if I gave my son for you and you didn't do what I asked you, I would have no mercy on you. And neither will he. Let's go back over here. God just dealt with that name there a little bit. Let's go back over here. Verse 29 as I close this lesson.
The people therefore stood by and
heard it,
said that it thundered.
Yeah.
Others said, an angel spake to him. Mm-hmm. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes.
Okay, verse
now is the judgment of this world.
Now, watch. What is this hour? He said, now. Now he's saying, he's getting ready to explain this hour, right now.
Is the judgment of this world.
This hour will be the judgment of the world.
Now shall the prince of this world
this
be cast out.
This hour will be when the prince, which is Satan, be cast out, dethroned, or defeated. This
and
hour.
If I be lifted up
and
from the earth.
And he gets more specific. And if, only if. Don't miss it. Remember, if the seed don't go in the ground, nothing happens. And if Jesus has a decision to do the will of God or not, What could I say? I can ask God to save me from this hour, but I know why I came. And if I
be lifted up from
the earth,
will draw all men unto me.
Verse number, here it is. Here's the answer.
This he says, signifying what death should he die.
There's the answer. What hour is this? It's time for him to die. The hour is come. The hour just means time. It's time to die. He's only a few days away from the death. So they got to lift him up on the cross, and that seed got to die right there. They got to take that seed down from the cross, got to bury that seed in the ground, and that seed would resurrect on the third day. And unharvested souls could not be harvested, just like there will be no corn unless the seed die in the ground and bring up a corn stalk. And from the corn stalk come multiple pieces of corn. If Jesus died on the cross, he's that seed. He would be buried in the ground. And when he resurrects, multiple people can be saved because he died alone. Oh, man. Woo! Man, that was good. See, man, the Bible is so, so good. Isn't it? The Bible, man couldn't have wrote an analogy like this. Don't y'all know that? Man couldn't have figured this thing out. He couldn't took a seed. How did God put life in a corn seed? And that seed is dead. That seed has to die before life can come up. So all he's saying is that Jesus had to die. Jesus had to be buried. And Jesus had to resurrect so we could have life. You see it? Man, that is so amazing to me. Anybody who don't believe in the Bible just ain't got good sense. Man could not have done this, y'all. We're not that smart. Are we? And so this whole thing is going to be called the gospel. This hour is come. Now, the hour is horrifying. Here's what you need to know. Jesus got to do this alone. The seed has to die alone. No one else can die for us. There was no other options. What he knew, what's troubling him is that I'm on death row. What's troubling him is that I know what's ahead of me. I know what's coming. It's going to get more troubling in the garden. He's going to scream. He's going to cry. He's going to beg the Father to let the cup pass in the garden of Gethsemane. He's not even there yet. He's already troubled. He know they're going to take him. He know they gonna beat him. He know what it feels like before it happens. It's like us getting hit. We know we drive out here, we're getting hit by an 18-wheeler. I already know it. I see where it's gonna happen at. I know what it's gonna feel like when it happened, and I can see it. He see everything. That's horrifying. It's gonna be so troubling to him that he gonna sweat like blood is dropping off of him. That from anxiety. The hour has come. That's what he's saying. I know what's getting ready to happen. Yeah. They're going to beat him. His visage would be so, he's going to be so beaten by a whip that no one can recognize his face. His mother knows him. She follows him to the cross, and he's going to go on the cross. And the horror would happen on the cross when he say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why are you leaving me here? The horror of horrors. is that Jesus had never been separated from his Father, and it's because of our sins that he will be separated from his Father for the first time in history. There will never be another time that he will be separated from his Father. He'd never been separated from him. But when he took our sins on that cross, the Father backed away. And guess what? He sent an angel to him in the garden. You know what God did when he was on the cross? He didn't send nobody. Jesus had the power to call 10,000 angels, but he didn't. He bore it all. That's why I asked that song. He bore it all. He took everything that would come in that hour for us, for his church, for his bride. And the blood is what washed our sins away in baptism. The blood is what keeps us in a saved condition in communion. And brothers and sisters, we dare not miss baptism and we dare not miss worship. We dare not do it. But because the hour came on him, and we must respect that hour was a horrifying hour. Crucifixion is the most horrifying death a man could die. It's traumatic. It is devastating. It's excruciating pain. From the word crucifixion comes excruciating. Guess what? Before they drove the nails in his hand, D, he already knew what it was going to feel like. How would you like to be up there all by yourself for people who won't respect you, for people who won't love you, for people who won't worship with you, for people who won't remember you? The hour is come. You say, well, Brother Brooks, what is the takeaway for us, y'all? What do we mean? You got to go there and be with him. Look what he's getting ready to go through. 5 days away from his death. He's already terrified. I don't know how we could do it. Do y'all? I don't know if I could do it. Especially after I know what kind of people we are. People who don't. The world just take Jesus like he's a big piece of peppermint candy. They do what they want to do with it. Make money on him. Tell the people what they want to hear for him. Use his name to grow big old mega churches and make a whole bunch of money. Throw them up there on the sign and everybody go flocking in. And you tell them anything they want to tell you, and they flop around on the floors and jump around in the name of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. But they don't understand what he went through in that hour. I want to say to us, Holland Heights, let's not disrespect God. Let's not lose reverence or respect for God, the Father who gave his Son. He saw the travail of his Son. In other words, the Father would watch the whole thing take place. He would see it, Isaiah 53. He saw the travail of his child. He saw him trouble. He saw it all happen. And he's not going to let none of us get away with unfaithfulness. He's not going to let none of us get away with not being faithful to him. He's not going to let the world get away with not baptizing, like he said. He's not going to let the world get away from not communion, like he said. He's not going to let the world get away from these denominations of church. God is not going to let them do it, and I wouldn't either. So what do we get from this? A level of respect for God that we should take to a higher level. Amen. Amen. Members of the church that are unfaithful, you should repent and come home. You should get your lives together. Be faithful to God. People who have not obeyed him should obey him. Amen. Amen. Don't y'all think we ought to take our level of respect up? Yes. Our level of obedience up? Our level of service to him? Our level of worship to him? Respect the word of God. Respect the Bible. Respect what it says. Respect God's word. Respect it because the hour is come that the Son of Man would be glorified. What are you saying? The seed got to die. The seed got to be buried. But early on a Sunday morning, the seed's going to rise with power. And he rose up, and the harvest then is plentiful. But you know what he says about us? It's the laborers that the problem. Because the laborers are few. But when a farmer looks out over his cornfield, he wants to see all white blooms. Because it's going to be a harvest time coming. And one day, God is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It's going to be harvest time. Will you be in that number? You say, brother, what I got to do? Number one, hear the story of the seed, how it died alone. Believe it that he hung on the cross. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent right now where you are. Say, you know what? I'm going to obey God. Confess before this audience your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And then you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You got to be born, washed in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1, verse 5. Baptism is essential for salvation. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Matthew 28, 18. No matter what folks say, it's not a sinner's prayer to save us. It's baptism where we save. That's why Peter said, for verse Peter 3:21, baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not a bath. It's an answer to a good conscience. It frees you from the burdens of sin, the things you've done in your past. God said he'll wash them away and forgive you everything you ever done. Born again, regenerated, a new creature in Christ. Go down, old man, die under the water, bury you under the water, and you rise up new, just like Jesus did. It's called a death, burial, and a resurrection and baptism. Oh, see, you got to die. And ain't nobody can go in the water with you. You got to go alone. This ain't one mama can help you with. You got to go down in the water by yourself. Contact the blood of Jesus on the water. Wash your sins away. Gives you the Holy Spirit. You rise up again in the image of God. Born again and regenerated in the heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And then the Lord then adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having faith with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. After that, you must live faithful unto death. You can't be once saved, always saved. You got to get saved and stay saved by obeying God and being faithful to him. And then, and only then, when you die, you hear him say, well done, that good and what? Faithful servant. And with that in mind, here's who should come. That hour came for Jesus, but is this your hour to come and be baptized? You can come this morning and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you ought to do it before you die. You ought to do it today. Because tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. You ought to do it right now. You ought to be walking while I'm talking. You ought to be walking. You ought to be trying to get to the water quick as you can. You ought to say, don't let nothing stop you, man. Get me to the water. How fast can you take the confession? And after you do it, you'll come. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you've never been baptized, or been baptized before, you're not a member of the church, you still got to be baptized. You know, you didn't get the one baptism. Then the members of the church, all of us need to up our level of commitment to the Lord. Rededicate your life. Come home if you need to. Ask God to forgive you. Be like the prodigal son. Then you come. And then those of us, we're going through some things. Tonight I'm going to talk about, and as I did last Sunday afternoon, we talked about how God is handing this thing to us. Life is going to hand it to all of us. Trauma is going to come in. Tragedy is going to come in. Things going to happen in our life. But you got to have God in your life. Because men are miserable comforters. But God gives us a comforter. It's not a miserable comforter. That's tonight. So I want you to come. If you're troubled at heart, you got something going on in your life, you need prayer, we want to pray with you. I want you to come. If you need baptism, I want you to come. If you want to return to the Lord, what we're going to do, we're going to stand up singing. I'm going to ask everybody, please, we need to just stop this too. Worship is not over when I give the invitation. Amen. I'm going to ask you kindly, please don't walk during the invitation. Unless you just dying. If you don't held it this long, you can hold it. Respect God. This is God's invitation for man to come. It cost his son's life. So I'm asking you, sing with us. Sing. Pray with us that people will come to the Lord. But don't walk out that door until we finished. Amen. Can y'all do that for me? Can we give God that kind of respect? Amen. Because a lot of times, soon as we stand up, folks are here now. That's disrespectful. You don't want nobody to walk out when you were being saved. Amen, somebody. Am I being mean? No. Is this serious? Yes. What if this one soul come because all of us sung the song? What is the song, by the way?
Mercy, Lord.
Mercy, Lord. And that's a good one because Mercy, Lord, moved me the first time I heard Brother Melton pass when I first came to this congregation. Y'all remember that? Brother Melton, first time I heard Mercy, Lord, that Melton family was singing. And I said, oh, Lord, that's a beautiful song. But, man, this song touches your heart. And what I want you to do again, those who have never been baptized, I want you to come to today. I want you to come be baptized today. And those who have been baptized before but not in the church of Christ, you come today so you'll be a part of the true church. And those who need prayer, we want you to come. Why? His hour had come, but when is your hour coming? We'll know. We won't know, but God knows. It'll be the hour of your death. But the question will be, did you fear God and keep his commandments, or did you not? Wouldn't you come as a go? We stand.